Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 3. Why do you come to church? To learn about God, to get to know His thoughts. You want to know what God thinks. The Bible tells you what God thinks. That's how you get to know Him. You want to do something more than that, though. You're actually learning about reality. We don't always think of it that way. We think reality is what's going on around us. What's going on around us is not all of reality by a long shot. What's going on around us is circumstances, but circumstances may or may not reflect reality. When you learn the Word of God, you're learning reality. This is the way things actually are. Now, how do I know that, for example, there's a building across the way there? How do I know that that building is not more real, or at least as real, as the Word of God? Well, can you knock the building down? Can you set it on fire and have it burn down? I'm not saying anybody should do this. Can the wind blow it over if you get a hurricane or something? It can't be all that real. But yet the Bible tells us that the Word of God will never go away. It will always exist. Now, the entire history of mankind, people have been trying to get the Word of God away from themselves. Now, some people don't. Some people love the Word of God. But Satan can influence people, and one of the influences he brings, he tries to get us to push the Word of God away. The first person to do that was a guy named Cain. He was Adam and Eve's son. Adam and Eve had several sons. One of Adam and Eve's sons was also a preacher, and another one was a man of God. But we don't know that he was a preacher, and his name was Abel. And Cain didn't like that Abel accepted the Word of God. He didn't like what the Word of God had to say, and so he killed Abel because of it. All of human history, some people that were influenced by the devil were trying to push the Word of God, while the other people who loved God tried to bring it closer to themselves. They try to get near the Word of God. They try to learn the Word of God. They try to have the Word of God. You go to church so you can have the Word of God. The Word of God is reality, and we know it's true because it will never go away. Now, that building has not been around since Cain and Abel's time. But the Word of God was there even before Cain and Abel. It was there before Adam and Eve. It was there before everything. And it will be there forever. Therefore, we know that the Word of God is actually the ultimate reality. When you get to heaven, it's not going to be about that building over there. When you get to heaven, it will be about the Word of God. That's the ultimate reality. That is complete reality. Now, one of the things that's important for us is to experience the Word of God. For example, if you walk across there and you keep going straight and you don't open the door, but you keep going toward the building, you're either going to hit the door or you're going to hit the wall or somehow you're going to hit the building. That gives you an experience with the building. In that case, it's not very positive, but still an experience. With the Word of God, you get experience also. As a matter of fact, that's the whole idea. The Word of God is not just about ideas. It's about reality that you can use. It's about things that are very practical. Things that you can apply it, you can use it in your daily situations. That's the idea behind going to church. So that you get the Word of God, yes, but so you know how to use the Word of God. It's an extremely useful thing in your life. As a matter of fact, it's the most useful thing in your life is the Word of God. Now here it says in verse 10, put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. What does that mean? Well, that means a couple of different things, and these are your realities. When the apostle said, put on the new man, that also means there's an old man. So I have a choice. I can put on an old man, or I can put on a new man. Now, inside of us, it's almost like two people are living. You ever notice that? Sometimes you kind of start getting frustrated or you lose your mind and you don't even know why. You don't have an explanation for it. If somebody says, what's the matter? You say, nothing, but I'm really irritated. Have you ever had that kind of an experience? If you haven't had that yet, you will. That's called the old sin nature. Sometimes we call it the old man. It's actually the old sin nature. And that's in your body. That's part of your physical body. It's in a part called the DNA. You have two natures. You have an old sin nature. But if you're saved, and I believe all of you are saved, how many of you here believe that Jesus saved you? That Jesus died for your sins? Okay, how many of you accept that He died for your sins? In other words, yeah, He died for me. Okay, that means you're saved. Simple as that. There's nothing more to it than that. Living with God, there's more to, but being saved, that's it. That's it right there. Okay, now why am I saying that? Because you're saved, the Holy Spirit also lives inside of you, and the Holy Spirit is one of the expressions of God. There's three expressions. Remember, Father, Son, and Spirit? The Holy Spirit is one of the expressions of God. He lives in you. So you have a new nature from the Holy Spirit, and you have an old nature that's in your physical body. We call it the sin nature. So you have a new nature and you have a sin nature. And in you, there's a little bit of a battle between the two natures. God's nature that's given to me by the Holy Spirit and the sin nature, which is the result of when Satan deceived Adam and Eve. And sometimes I have to choose which nature I'm going to live in. The sin nature is the nasty nature. I'll tell you now. The thing that makes you cranky, the thing that makes you grumpy, fussy, angry, what have you, insecure, that's the sin nature. By the way, the sin nature is also when you want to do things you really know you shouldn't do, but you want to do them anyway. That is Satan's influence on the sin nature. He targets the sin nature. The new nature is the part of you that says, Jesus is amazing. I love Jesus. I think He's the best thing since anything. He is so kind. He is so sweet. And He actually gives you tremendous peace. And He gives you tremendous satisfaction. And He actually comes through for you in everyday circumstances. And when you start to think in that, about that, dwell on that, that's when you're living in your new nature. Paul says, put on the new nature. Take off the old nature, put on the new nature. That's how you start to experience what you know. You know about Jesus. You know about the Word of God. Now, know it in your experience. When you start to use it, you experience it. How many of you have gotten clothes for Christmas? You get clothes for Christmas. They're yours no matter what you do. Why? Because they have your name on them. They're your size. They don't fit anybody else. They're given to you. Now here's the thing. Until you start using them, you won't experience them. So if I sit to you and there's a box, let's say with some pants in it or a shirt or something, and I say to you, is that shirt comfortable? And it's in the box, you'll have to say, well, I think so, but I don't know. I don't know if that shirt is comfortable. But when you put the shirt on, then you know that it's comfortable. It's like that with God. When you start to use the Word of God in your thinking, in other words, you say to yourself, okay, this is what's going on. What does God say about it? And I start to decide according to what God says about it, that's using it in your thinking. Then you start to experience the benefit of the Word of God. Hearing it alone is important, but it's not enough. It starts there, it doesn't end there. You hear it, and then you use it. Somebody says something nasty to you at school, makes you feel bad. And then you say to yourself, yeah, but what does God say about me? Well, God says I'm perfect. God says I'm accepted. God says He loves me. God says I'm precious. God says I'm very important to Him. God says that I'm chosen. God says that He has a call and a purpose for my life. That makes me extremely valuable. And things all of a sudden turn for you because you've stopped thinking with the old sin nature. The old sin nature will say, oh, that hurt my feelings. I feel so bad for myself. Somebody said something mean. That's the old sin nature. The new nature says, I don't care what they said. I know what God thinks about me. That's the new nature. The new nature can make you very bold. It doesn't make you nasty, but it can make you bold. It can make you very confident. And God wants you to be. That's why He gave you all those promises. He wants you to be confident. He doesn't want you to be hurt by everything. He wants you to be confident and to know who you are because He tells you who you are. And when you start using the Word of God in your life, that's when you start to experience the Word of God. Now, here's how it works. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. You hear the Word of God, you trust it. In Hebrews 4:2, it says you mix faith with what you hear. Mixing faith works like this. It's a picture of something like coffee and cream. You put cream in the coffee, you mix it together, it's really not possible to separate the cream and the coffee anymore. So what you hear and your trust are so closely connected that the moment you hear the Word of God, you just trust it. You know it's reality. That's mixing faith. When that happens, you get a renewed mind. In other words, God gives you new thinking. And when God gives you new thinking, then you have put on the new man. Now, here's the thing about that. Putting on the new man has phenomenal advantages, phenomenal benefits. In John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me, that means you continue and you remain in a life after me. You pursue me in your life. You keep me in your life. That's what it means to abide. If you abide in me, and then if my words remain in you, you receive the Word of God and you don't just forget it, but you keep it, you think about it, you meditate on it, you use it. Then He said, you will ask what you will, and it will be given to you. That's pretty amazing. That's, by the way, how you get answers to prayer. You continue being faithful to God, and God's Word continues to be inside of your thinking, then anything you ask, God will give it to you. But it's not just about getting things from God. It's more than that, too. It's about all the different situations in our lives. It can be stuff. It doesn't have to be stuff. It's much more than that. God, what am I going to do in my life? What's the right decision? And God will make sure you make the right decision. God, which people should I be around? I don't know who they are. God will make sure you understand which people to be around. God, that situation is impossible for me. But here's the thing about this. When you start to use the Word of God and you stay faithful to God and you keep the Word of God in your thoughts, then Matthew 17:20 says, nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. That's pretty impressive. Nothing is impossible for the person who knows how to use the Word of God. There is absolutely nothing that person cannot do. Jesus said, I've done all this stuff, you're going to do greater things. How can I do greater things? Because the Holy Spirit lives in me. That's how. When I start to use the Word of God and I keep it in my thinking, I get all the benefits of the Holy Spirit living in me. If I turn to the old nature, that's really easy to do. If I turn to the old nature, then I put aside the benefits. He never leaves me, but I don't experience the benefits. But I put on the new nature, and the benefits flood in. You guys understand? Okay, that's it for today.